Hi, everybody. Good morning. It's Nick DiGilio. That's me. And it's Triple Play Thursday, 312-981-7200. One artist, three songs. Squat, second request, Mott the Hoople Sucker. All right. Hey, how you doing? We're going to be talking about weird and crazy personal collections that people have. And if you collect anything, we would love to hear it. And if it's weird, we'd love to hear that even more. So call us or text us at 312-981-7200 with your weird collections. So I got a couple of things here, a bunch of these weird collections. Let's start with this first one. I know, let me ask you, Dan, do you collect anything?
You know, I am a comic book guy, so I did for a very long time collect comic books. I was never one of those guys that, like, was like, oh, it's got to be in the package, never take it out, don't read it, you know, blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah.
So they're in disrepair, but I still have a lot of them. One thing that Eileen and I have started doing is anytime we go out of state or on a trip, we will buy a ornament. So our Christmas tree is full of ornaments.
Of places that you've traveled to?
That's
cool.
So we're kind of collecting ornaments from places around the world.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Vic, you collect anything?
I collect spores, moles, and fungus.
Oh, okay. Currently, you and Dan are both doing that.
Did he say that?
No.
Oh.
No, you guys are both sick. That's why
his voice is rocking. By the way, I mean, I'm digging this cold he's got going.
Yeah, man. You see, you should we switch our format to smooth jazz this morning?
What? Dan's voice is.
Welcome to the night flight.
Yeah. No, I don't really.
You don't collect anything, eh?
No.
Okay.
I live in a very small apartment.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Jim?
When I was a kid, I did the baseball cards.
Oh, sure.
And the autographs. I don't really do the autographs anymore unless there's a strange one that I could find.
Yeah.
Then I'll ask for it. Mr. T, signed copy of DC Cab is about the most recent one.
So. Wait a minute. No. You have a Mr. T
signed copy of DC Cab? Yep.
That's got to be worth $4 million.
To somebody, yeah.
Uh-oh, yeah. Wait.
I have been pitying fools for 28 years, Bill, and it's never personal.
That's right.
I love Mr. T.
Shut up, fool.
Sorry.
Okay. Hey, sucker. You better not be talking to invisible animals. 1 out of 1, Dr. T's recommended.
That's right.
He's the best.
Shut up, fool.
Pardon me?
I have been pitying fools for 28 years, Bill, and it's never personal. Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
Well, now, wait a second. Where did that come from? Wait a minute. Vic ran off and then came back.
Don't
what
make
is...
Me mad.
Is that on your phone? Is that on your phone?
We have a thing up here in the newsroom. It's called Mr. T in Your Pocket. And it's a little, it's about the size of a car remote that opens up your doors. And you can just fire it off anytime you need to.
Yeah. All right.
Have you ever seen his app? He has an app that you can buy in the.
What does it do?
It you can Photoshop pictures of people into like him, it's the chains and the gold.
Oh,
and the mohawk
and, everything. Yeah.
You just need a good picture of somebody's face.
Yeah. That's where some of these sound bites came from. That thing.
Okay.
That you have, Vic.
I pity the fool.
See.
No.
Shut up, fool.
Now, why is that in the news? What the hell? Yeah,
and why are we just hearing it now?
Why is that in the newsroom? Who would bring that in? Is that Pilac?
No, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
It's got to be Pilac, right?
Absolutely. It's got to be.
It's got to be.
We have random stuff. We still have a Ben Carson for president banner up here on the wall. Bernie Sanders t-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
We probably need to clean
those house. Those are just almost as funny. Although not quite. So I just don't, I mean, I love the fact that the WGN newsroom has a Mr. T toy in the newsroom. That's fantastic. Where do they keep it, Vic? Where you had to run across the room to get it.
It's actually at Judy Pilak's desk.
See, of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is.
The goodbye girl.
I was going to say, I bet it was a goodbye.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, there you go. No, wait a second. Now, is it a VHS copy?
DVD.
Oh, it's a DVD.
Yeah, so okay. A friend of mine used to work at the Captain Morgan Club outside Wrigley, and he would text me whenever. They would get a lot of the people who would sing the seventh inning stretch
yes,
in there, and
yes.
he would always text me who it was, and I would never, because I lived in Lakeview, so it was real easy to just run over there, and when he texted me one day that Mr. T was there, I'm like, do whatever you have to do to keep him there, because I'm on my way with a copy of DC Cab.
With a copy of DC Cab, mm-hmm. yeah. And, you know, it's really funny. I ended up, and I won't tell the long story, but I ended up hanging out with Gary Busey for a week.
God.
Yes, and it's everything that you, Jim, whatever you think it is, multiply it by about a million, and you're getting close to what it's like to hang out with Gary Busey.
He's another favorite of mine.
Gary Busey, this is when he was in town, coincidentally.
Why was he here?
He was filming the Rookie of the Year movie where the kid busts his arm. So he was in. This was in the fall of '92, and he was in town. And I saw him. I was dating a girl who enjoyed going to China Club. I don't want to get into that. We ended up going to China Club, and she was hot, so we got in the VIP room. I have no idea how I started dating this girl. It's way out of my league. So we got in the VIP room, and Gary Busey was there. And I just walked up to him, and I went, and I said, I don't want to bother you, but I'm a really huge fan. I think you're great, and I love Point Break. Point Break is one of my favorite movies of all the time. And he went nuts. He's like, Point Break's a movie to change my life. And So he shook hands and then took a liking to me, and I ended up hanging out with. He liked me, and he's like, he was staying at the Westin across the street from the Hancock Building.
Okay, I thought you were going to say like the Howard Johnson on Ohio.
Yeah. So he was staying at the Westin across from the Hancock, and so like I went over there and we went out drinking and all this other stuff, and so it was absolutely insane, and I ended up seeing Under Siege with him. There was a screening because it was when Under Siege came out.
Okay.
And there was a screening, and he's like, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, well, I'm going to see Under Siege. He goes, what? There's a screening? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, man. And I said, it's at the Esquire. It's right down the street from where you're staying. He's like, you think I can get in? I'm like, you're in the movie. I think you can get in. And he was mad that nobody told him that there was a screening. So I brought him as my plus one. So I'm watching Under Siege with Gary Busey sitting next to me, giving me like DVD commentary while we're watching the movie.
Oh, man.
You know, he's like, Steven Seagal's a jerk. You know, and he's in my ear, and he's like, you know, like, you know, that scene where he comes out in drag.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, we made that up on the spot. Me and Tommy Lee wrote this scene. And I'm like, this is happening while I'm watching the movie. It was insane. So anyway, I what he once told me when we were out one night, somebody we were like with a group, and the, you know, and they were talking, and somebody mentioned DC Cab. Okay.
And Dell, one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's what he said about DC Cab. He goes, because somebody goes, oh, man, now you know what one of your favorite movies is DC Cab. He's like, DC Cab. He's like, yeah. We're like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I don't remember that making that movie at all.
Well, okay. That's why I'm not surprised. Yeah. I think you can actually see that in his performance.
No, it's insane. He's like, I've seen it. I'm in it, but I have no memory of making that movie at all.
That's amazing. Did you ever have him on here?
No, I didn't have him on the show. No, I had his son Jake on. I had his son on.
Okay,
and I told him he was in studio. Jake Busey was in studio. He was at like Comic Con or something, for a film festival or something. And I had him and William Catt in at the same time. Greatest American Hero.
Wow.
So those guys were in studio here, and we were talking. And off the air, I told Jake, I was like, you know, about 20 years ago, I hung out with your dad. He's like, what? I said, yeah, he was here filming that baseball movie, and I hung out with him for like 6 nights straight. He's like, oh, God. And even he was like, oh, that must have been rough. And I'm like, yeah, it was pretty rough.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, many of the stories, I will say this, Jim, many of the stories that happened during that week are not arable.
You know what? That's not shocking.
Yeah. So, but like I said, everything that you would imagine it to be, that's what it was, plus 10. You remember that show, I'm with Busey?
Oh, yeah.
On Comedy Central?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty close to what it was. Wow. Pretty close. Yeah.
All right.
So.
That's outstanding. Yeah. I wasn't expecting a Busey story.
No, I have a lot of Gary Busey stories, trust me.
All right.
I have a one-man show's worth of Gary Busey stories just from that one week in the fall of '92 when I hung out with him. But, yeah, he has no memory of making DC Cab.
I'm not shocked by that.
Now, was Mr. T nice to you?
Mr. T was great, yeah. Then, like, he was eating it up, too. He hung out with everybody who would come up to him at Captain Morgan Club wearing red, white, and blue Zubaz. And,
No, I remember when he sang this. I remember when he sang the stretch.
He was great.
But one of my friends, my friend Mike View, was driving down Michigan Avenue, and it was a summer day. And he's driving down Michigan Avenue, and all of a sudden, he's at a crosswalk. I think it was Michigan and, I want to say Michigan and Chicago, maybe.
Okay.
And he's at the crosswalk, and all of a sudden, he hears, like, people are crossing the street, and crowds are crossing the street, as is wont to happen on a busy afternoon on Michigan Avenue. And a group of people, and they all start, like, pointing and cheering, and, hey! And my friend looks over, two lanes over, big, giant Rolls-Royce convertible. It's Mr. T.
Fantastic.
Chains, mohawk, the whole thing, and he's sitting in the Rolls Royce, and he's waving at everybody. How's it going, fools? You know, and he's doing that, and from his rearview mirror was hanging a Mr. T air freshener, and my friend,
of course there was.
My friend says that's when you know you've made it, when you're in a Rolls Royce and you have an air freshener of yourself. That's when you know that you've made it. So
I'm holding the photo of you can't see it at
all.
It's terrible.
Oh, is that you and Mr. T?
That's me and Mr. T.
That's
some army fatigue he's got going on that day too. So good stuff.
By the way, Andrea Darlis lives in Mr. T's building. Did you know that?
I had no idea of this.
Andrea Darlis lives in Mr. T's building and shares the gym with him. So there you go. It's Mr. T connections all over the place.
This is, man.
Yeah.
Hey, sucker. You better not be talking to no invisible animals.
That's right. And he said that to, I believe that's what he said to, he went up to Andre and he went,
one out of one Dr. T's recommended.
That's right. All right. We have to break. How did this turn?
Yeah, that turned into a long Mr. T.
Oh, because you have a collection.
I have his
used to collect autographs. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. We'll get it.
Mr. T is the highlight of the collection, obviously.
That's fantastic. All right. Okay. We're talking about weird personal collections. If you collect weird stuff or you collect things in general, 312-981-7200. How many of them do you have? What do you have? Like our buddy Rick Geezer has a very specific collection. He collects sports songs. When are we going to have him back on? Beginning of baseball season?
Probably.
Around April? Okay, cool. All right, so that's another specific right there. So what are your collections? Yeah. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? Triple Play Thursday, one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Squat! It's his third Mott the Hoople song, Mama's Little Jewel, here on Triple Play Thursday. All right, phone lines are open, text lines are open, 312-981-7200, and we would love to hear from you with your collections. What do you collect? And we've got a list here of some people, some real people, who have these real collections that are very weird. So we'll talk a little bit about that and open up our phone lines and talk about what you collect, 312-981-7200. First person on here. It collects miniature chairs. Shopping for pint-sized chairs began as a weekend hobby for Barbara Hartsfield. After maintaining this habit for 10 years, she has built up a collection of 3,000 miniatures. She had built up a collection of 3,000 of the miniatures by 2008. Today, tiny furniture enthusiasts can find chairs in bottles, bird feeder chairs, and chairs made from toothpicks and clothespins at her Stone Mountain, Georgia Museum. A whole museum of miniature chairs.
Stone Mountain, Georgia, by the way, the home of Jake the Snake Roberts.
That's right. I've had him on the show.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I've had Jake the Snake on very recently.
I don't
just
want
a few
to
derail
another half hour.
No. He was great. He was great. He was. What is it? Hey, Dan, was he in town for? What was Jake the Snake in town for? We had him on.
He was doing like a spoken word thing at Zanies.
Oh, at Zanies. That's right. He did a spoken word thing at Zanies.
How did I miss that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Are you a wrestling fan?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Oh, yeah? Did you watch Raw Monday night?
I did not. I'm out of the loop now a
okay.
little bit.
Here's, if you can find it, it was 23 of the best minutes of Raw that I've seen in a very long time.
That's high praise because it hasn't been great to me in
a
while.
It's because of Chris Jericho. Because Jericho rules.
I heard that him and Owens have been hysterical.
They have, and they had the feud broke, or that the feud started.
Okay.
Owens turned on him. And now by virtue of that, Jericho's a, he's a face now.
Okay.
But they had this moment where they're supposed to be best friends for the past like 6-7 months. They've been best friends and they've been helping each other out in matches and all that stuff.
Okay.
And they've been sort of like the king heels, on Raw. And so Jericho hosted this Festival of Friendship. They were in Vegas on Monday night. And
okay.
he hosted the Festival of Friendship, which was a salute to Kevin Owens and his friendship with Kevin Owens. And it was just unbelievably funny. He came out with like a sparkly jacket on and a hat, and there was a bunch of Vegas showgirls who brought him out to the ring, and he presented Kevin Owens with artwork and presents and stuff. And then Kevin Owens turned on him and beat the crap out of him and ended up going to a hospital. And so when he comes back on Monday, I'm sure he'll be all beaten up and now he's going to be. It's a feud that they're setting up for WrestleMania, which is what I think is going to be probably the best match then.
Chris Jericho still gets it done.
He's the best, man. He's one of the best on the mic ever.
Yes.
And phenomenal in the ring, and he still got it.
Yep.
And he's owned Raw for the past, like, 3 months.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
At, what, 43 or something?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been in the business 25 years. But that, if you can find the Festival of Friendship from last week's Raw, it was two long segments at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock. It went to almost 9:30.
I'll watch it. I'm sure it's
on
the Hulu cut.
Oh, my God, is it great. Is it great?
All right. Now I'm looking for now you're going to get me back into it, which I don't know that that's what I want either.
Yeah, I don't watch it as much as I used to. I used to watch it every, I used to watch SmackDown and Raw every week. And
yeah,
I was watching, back in the day, I watched WCW as well. Impact, I even watched TNA, which sucks.
Okay, yeah, it does.
You know, Lucha Underground.
I've watched a little bit.
So good.
And I have watched Jim Ross call some New Japan on Axis.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch that a little
Had
bit.
Had Jim Ross on the show, too.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm a big wrestling fan, Jim. Big wrestling fan. All right, here's a guy who collects Daleks from the Doctor Who. Now, this isn't surprising. Dan, does that seem surprising to you that somebody who watches Doctor Who would collect Daleks?
Nope.
You wouldn't be faulted for pegging someone who owns hundreds of Daleks as a fan of Doctor Who, but Ron Hull of Donchester, England, isn't interested in the show. He only has eyes for the Doctor's cyborg nemesis. His obsession traces back to the day his mother refused to buy him a Dalek toy when he saw it in a store as a child. He vowed to buy it one day. At the age of 29, he purchased his first model, and as of 2011, he earned a Guinness World Book Records for amassing 571 Daleks, ranging in size from tabletop knickknacks to a 6-foot replica. This is a great part of the story. One person who isn't thrilled about the achievement is his wife. According to the Telegraph, she says, "I hate the bloody things, and I've got a feeling that this is only going to encourage him." That's the thing about having these collections. Like, if you have like Dan, where are your comic books? In storage?
Box in a basement.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. When I was married, my Schlitz memorabilia that I collect, that was boxed up, put away. There were a couple of, she let me have a couple of Schlitz things in the house. Now they're out. Now I don't even drink anymore. I haven't had a Schlitz in a year and a half. But I have a giant Schlitz sign hanging on my living room, in my living room. I love the Schlitz logo. I like the artwork. I think it's really cool. But that was all packed away. When I was married, that was like, yeah, that stuff's not, put it in the box and shut your mouth. I'm like, okay. Okay, honey. Whatever you say, sweetums. So.
Marital right. Bliss.
That's exactly right, man. Oh, man. Oh, by the way, when a couple got engaged, I told you this off the air, a couple got engaged 2 nights ago on At Midnight Live, and they got engaged. She didn't know it. He sprung it on her, and she said yes and everything. And then they were supposed to pick the winner of At Midnight. And so Chris Hardwick, they've been engaged for like 5 minutes now. And Chris Hardwick goes, okay, you guys have to pick the winner. And you guys, would you like to discuss this? And Hardwick, who just got married in August, Hardwick goes, here's the first lesson. Let her decide who wins and then agree with her. And he's only been married since August. So, all right. We got a break here. And then we got the news coming up in the after news. We want to hear from you. We got a bunch of texts coming in. If you want to call in, 312-981-7200. What do you collect? And hopefully the weirder, the funnier, the better. That's cool. Riders on the storm. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio. seventh floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich follows this show with the opening bell, and then my friend and yours, the great Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. Triple play Thursday, one artist, three songs. Mike in Michigan evidently doesn't know I hate the Doors, so he requested the Doors, Riders on the Storm, so that means two more Doors songs to be played this morning. Hey, it's a democracy, right? You wanna hear the Doors? That's your own problem, but we'll play them. When I was in high school, I'll never forget this. There was a big resurgence in popularity with the Doors and Jim Morrison. And in 1981, so this is about 10 years after he died. What did he die, 70 or 71?
Thereabouts. I don't know.
Yeah, it's either 70 or 71.
71.
He had been dead for 10 years. He was on the cover of Rolling Stone. And I remember people had the copy of that magazine was making its rounds in my high school cafeteria. And everybody's like, oh, man, he's so cool. He'd been dead 10 years, and he was on the cover of Rolling Stone, and it said the headline, it was his face, and the headline, or the tag on the front of the Rolling Stone said, he's hot, he's popular, he's dead. I remember something, I'm paraphrasing, but that, and I was like, how? Because everybody was like, there was suddenly, you know, people in high school were like, yeah, man, the Doors are awesome.
All right.
I always thought he was a buffoon.
I never got him.
No, God, no.
Couple tracks I can take, but by and large, no.
I like "Touch Me," and everybody hates that, but I love the orchestra in it.
I can deal with Roadhouse Blues.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, the singles primarily.
Yeah, I'm not a I like Apocalypse Now. I like the use of "This Is the End."
Yeah, it's great.
In Apocalypse Now, that's pretty awesome. But it's just the whole thing. So, anyway. All right, well, let's get back to collections. I don't collect Doors stuff. I can tell you that much. All right. We have weird collections here, but now texts have come in. I want to read your text and maybe take your calls as well. Do you collect things? If they're weird, that's cool. 312-981-7200. Brian says, my mom collects old jelly jars. And then he says, I collect baseball cards and my girlfriend collects boots. Okay. Just specific? Just any kind of boot, Brian? Combat? Just, you know. Chris in Midway says, I have about 1,500 Marvel and DC comics from the 70s. Ooh. What era are yours from, Dan? 90s?
Yeah, 90s and 2000s.
Mm-hmm. You got any Punisher?
Nah, he wasn't my cup of tea.
That's not one of your favorite titles?
Nah.
Oaken was a Punisher maniac.
I could see that.
And he was like, here, you can. He was like forcing me to try and read Punisher comics. He would his recommendation was, you got to read the Punisher. And I would go, why? And he goes, because he punishes. that was his reason. Great to get me to read it. Look at him punish. He would like open up the book, the comic book, and go, look at him punish. Look, he's punishing. I'm like, I understand. Guy's called the Punisher.
That's like one of your old favorite Steven Seagal-isms. Like, for the period of time, all his movie was, you know, Steven Seagal is blank.
All
under siege.
All of the Steven Seagal movies, like the first like 8 or 9 Steven Seagal movies, can be described as Steven Seagal is above the law. He is marked for death. He is out for justice. That was like, all of them were like that. He is under siege. He is the Glimmer Man. On Deadly Ground, he is on Deadly Ground. It was like, it was just like one after another, Steven Seagal is whatever the title of the movie. Oh, man. Jay in Ohio says, I had a matchbook collection, and I still have my sports cards from the 60s and 70s. Yeah, you know what? I remember people collecting matchbooks. You know who collected matchbooks? If I'm not mistaken, Tony Fitzpatrick. And his father started a matchbook collection, Tony Fitzpatrick, because he did a great series of paintings involving matchbooks and matchbook covers. Beth Ann in Bristol says, I have a collection of random things I found on the ground. I certainly hope you're washing your hands and singing happy birthday a couple of times. Peter in Decatur, my collection, anything flamingo, including lawn ornaments, plush toys, and the movie Pink Flamingos. playing cards, keychains, stickers, blankets, and more. That's interesting. Anything flamingo? All right, Peter. How about this guy, a dermatologist in North Carolina, Manfred Rothstein. He collects back scratchers. He has 675 of them from 71 different countries.
How many of them are used?
Well, let's see. He's a dermatologist, so. How about this? Carol Vaughn, 65, from Birmingham in the UK, has an impressive collection of soap bars. She has more than 5,000 bars of soap from all over the world. She's been collecting soap bars since 1991. She doesn't use them, obviously.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, what if, like, the room above her floods or something, you know?
the sprinkler system
right,
goes on?
Right, just like, I'm like, do you, and now I'm like, God, this might be my sixth stupor here, but I'm like, I should email her and make sure she doesn't have her bathroom right above that.
Yeah,
hopefully it's like just a bedroom or something.
No pipes anywhere near your soap collection, because you can you just nothing but foam. You come home and you open up the door and it's just your.
It's a foam party.
It's nothing but foam.
I'm curious if she's ever, you know, run out of the soap supply and had to dig into the.
Yeah,
collection.
That's like I can't get to the store. Yeah. I'll just.
I got a 30-year-old piece of ivory.
I'll use
the. What happens if you use
I can go with this piece of soap from Germany that I brought back.
Does it still create a nice lather after 30 years?
God, I wouldn't even know.
I'm curious.
1991 she's been doing it, so. Yeah. I have a collection of soap, just the little slivers that are left over.
Stolen from hotels, that kind of stuff?
No.
Oh.
It's like when I use it, there's just a little sliver. Like, what do you do with it?
You group them together.
You group them together, I know.
Yes. You throw them on the other side of a new one, right?
Yep. That's pretty much what you do. Yep. How about this? These people have collected 30,000 toenail clippings. That's fantastic. This weird collection of toenail clippings is intended for medical research. So it's all on the up and up. It's not weird at all. It's not weird at all. They have 30,000 toenail clippings. It's for medical research. How about umbrella cover sleeves? Nancy Hoffman from Peaks Island, Maine. She has the largest umbrella cover collection, 730 unique items. She's in the Guinness Book of World Records as well. Umbrella covers. You switch them out on one umbrella? How about this? 39-year-old David Andreini from Italy has started collecting Coca-Cola cans. He started collecting Coca-Cola cans since he was 15. His collection includes special edition and commemorative cans from almost every country except Cuba and North Korea.
Those would be difficult to obtain, I would imagine.
Yeah. I would think so, too. So there you go. Coca-Cola cans. All right. More weird collections. We'd love to hear from you. We got some texts coming in. What do you collect? 312-981-7200 for talk or text here on WGN. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday continues. Mike in Michigan wanted to hear The Doors. That, of course, is Light My Fire. Hey, everybody, how you doing? It's Thursday. Tomorrow's Fly Jams Friday. Jim, have you ever been with us on Fly Jams Friday?
I have not, and I've been excited all week about
it. Oh, we got to get a name for him, then.
That's what I've been waiting for.
Got to get a name for him.
Yeah.
How about MC Rai Rai?
You know,
is that good?
I can deal with that.
How about that, Dan? That's pretty good, right?
Off the top of your head, no less.
Yeah.
All right, MC Rai Rai. That's going to be your Fly Jams nickname.
I can dig it.
Yeah, cool. All right, that's tomorrow. And we're also going to talk about classic theaters that were once all over this fine city. And I will talk particularly about the Uptown Theater, about what's happening at the Uptown Theater. But a beautiful theater that is just sitting there. And we'll talk about that. That's all on tomorrow's show. And all of our regular Friday features, Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen 24/7 to everybody on this radio station. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty, you jot down the date, the time, who said it, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We also have Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24/7. And if somebody mentions me in any capacity, you're a spy. Jot all the info down. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we also have You Big Dummy, which is off to a rollicking start. And if you would like to read a dummy story, this is when we actually read real news stories of real people who did really dumb stuff. And then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. And so that's coming up. And if you want to be a part of that and read a dummy story on the air, find a link to a funny, dumb story, dumb news story, and send a note to Dan at nickdshow@gmail.com. Say, I'd like to read this on the air. And you'll read it on the air. You'll be a part of the radio segment. And you get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate as well. So it's a win-win-win situation. So and those are all coming up tomorrow morning. Right now, though, we're talking about weird collections. People collect weird things. And people collect things, and we would love to hear from you. What do you collect if you have a collection of something? 312-981-7200. For the last 40 years, Elkhart County's Joanne and Cecil Dixon have collected chicken-related items, including chicken fridge magnets, chicken planters, and chicken ornaments. The couple now has 6,505 items in their collection. Chicken-related items. Okay. Cherry Groom owns an amazing 3,500 troll dolls collection. She must have seen the movie 900 times. She's probably responsible for 40% of the box office of the movie. 3,500 troll dolls. This is just weird. John Reznikoff owns the bizarre yet the most expansive collection of celebrity locks of hair in the world.
How do you verify something like that?
See that now, especially considering some of the figures that he has. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
And the question is, how do you verify that this is indeed a real lock of hair from the celebrity? In the collection, the historical figures and celebrities, it includes Edgar Allan Poe. How do you...
Yeah.
Albert Einstein, Abraham Lincoln, Marilyn Monroe, and Ludwig von Beethoven. How do you...
I think I'm impressed. I don't know.
I would be if we're... Yeah. I happen to, be... I'm like... Edgar Allan Poe happens to be my favorite writer, so I think that's cool because it's weird and morbid, and that makes sense.
That sums him up, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to have a collection of hair from celebrities. I think Edgar Allan Poe would go, yeah, all right, that's cool.
I mean, how do you come into possession of something like that? Was it passed down through the generations? Buy it?
I don't know. I have no idea how you would do this, but I know that, like, locks of hair have been available, like, on eBay.
That's what I'm about to pull up eBay, actually.
And I know that, like, they were selling sweat, like, celebrity sweat. So it is. You remember Spike Odell had the coffee cup collection?
Yeah, the coffee cup museum.
Coffee cup museum, and that was up in Wisconsin, right?
Yes.
Maybe somebody knows where it was. It was at like a was it a coffee shop that had it? And they were cups that were used by celebrities that Spike Odell had interviewed here.
Okay.
Over the years. And they were like, I think they were, if I'm not mistaken, they were autographed, and they were the actual cups, coffee cups that were used when Spike would interview them.
They were Door County. In the Door County Bakery.
That's right. Door County Bakery. That's right. That's right. Door County Bakery. That's right. And that's where the coffee cup museum was, Spike Odell's coffee cup museum.
So I'm looking at eBay here.
Yeah.
And there are some celebrity locks of hair available. If you're interested,
who and how much?
Well, so this is, I'll give you the name and you tell me what you think it would go for, because okay, we have this one isn't up for bid. You can get it at this price,
at this
or best offer.
Okay.
John Lennon, lock of hair, 1964, authenticated with certificate of authenticity. Not that that means a whole bunch, but
right.
still.
So John Lennon from 1964,
mm-hmm.
a lock of John Lennon's hair.
Free shipping. It seriously says that.
Because it costs so much to ship a lock of hair.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to say 1500.
I would have gone significantly higher than what it's available at.
And it's available at
$199.
Seriously?
Or best offer.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Wow.
How about Elvis Presley, notarized, rare.
Okay. There's a lot of Elvis hair.
18 people are watching this one. That's not the case on John Lennon.
Nobody's watching John Lennon. 18 people watching Elvis.
It says real with 6 exclamation points,
yeah.
which is,
uh-huh.
that's how you know.
Oh, I trust it.
Mm-hmm.
With the more explanation points, the more credibility.
Yeah.
That's always been my thought. Okay. So I would imagine that it's probably going for like 100.
This one is going for $1,099.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. How is an lock of Elvis hair worth almost $1,100?
But John Lennon.
But John Lennon, would you say it was how much was it?
$199.
Come on.
Now, this is bizarre because I'm seeing another listing for John Lennon,
uh-huh.
and it clearly is the exact same thing as the other one, so I don't know if somebody came into a significant amount of John Lennon's locks, because there's another one available with the same setup for
uh-huh.
$265.
Oh, all right. So what you do is you have to shop around. If you want John Lennon's hair... You're going to have to shop around.
We've set a market now on John Lennon.
All right. Well, maybe that's how John Reznikoff got Edgar Allan Poe. Is Edgar Allan Poe's hair available on eBay?
Let me check. I got Andrew Jackson here.
Andrew Jackson?
Uh-huh. Edgar Allan Poe.
Is Edgar Allan Poe?
No.
No?
Does not appear to be.
No.
Sorry.
All right. All right, we got a break here. When we come back, more weird collections and more hair. We can price more hair on eBay. That seems to be a thing. Why don't you, Jim, look up celebrity sweat if there's any sweat available. I remember they had vials of Elvis's sweat.
Celebrity sweat. Stand
yeah.
by.
All right, we got a break here. That's what we call a tease in the business. All right, we'll take a break. News is up next. When the strength. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Mike in Michigan, that was his third, The Doors, People Are Strange on Triple Play Thursday. All right. We're talking about weird collections. And before the break, we were talking about this guy who has, John Reznikoff, who has a large collection of locks of hair from celebrities, including Edgar Allan Poe, Albert Einstein, Abraham Lincoln, Marilyn Monroe, and Beethoven. And then I was wondering if there were celebrity sweat available, because Jim was looking around on eBay. Any luck on finding some sweat?
Well, kind of in a roundabout way, no actual celebrity sweat, but were you aware, and this is available for purchase in several places on eBay, Nelly, familiar with Nelly,
yeah.
has a DVD entitled Celebrity Sweat.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were going to say you could buy one of the Band-Aids that he had his face. I thought that was where you're going with that.
Celebrity Sweat, the exclusive sports workout.
Oh,
courtesy
okay.
of Nelly.
All right. So
that's available.
No actual celebrity sweat, but Nelly's workout video is available.
$875.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that cost less than John Lennon's hair.
The condition is labeled as very good, but not perfect. So
there's
apparently
sweat.
This,
you know why? There's sweat all over it.
This is a used DVD.
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, I'm not going to buy a used workout DVD. Jeez. All right. How about this? At 22.1 grams, Graham Barker has the largest collection of belly button lint. It's his own, if you're wondering. He started a collection in 1984. That's just, well, what's wrong with that picture? Does the guy wear a lot of sweaters? What's
I think one of our texters just sent in a text along those lines.
That they collect belly button lint?
I don't know if it was belly button lint. Navel lint. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Robert says, I collect old radios. This is a text from one of our listeners. I collect old radios, and I'm listening to you on one from the 40s. So I'm not supposed to do this, yeah? Remember, Dan?
Right.
Tony says, I collect anything with Day of the Dead, from small porcelain dolls, stickers, magnets, to large hanging items that you would find at Party City. I clean the shelves off of Walgreens during Halloween. It's all over my house. See, I think that's kind of cool. I think that's kind of cool. Now, it's not Day of the Dead, the George Romero film. No.
No, I think he's just...
He's talking about the holiday.
The actual holiday.
Yeah. That's cool stuff, though. The Day of the Dead imagery is really cool. I like it. Steve says, I own 400 comic books, and they are all Silver Surfer, who is the best comic book character ever. Dan, where do you stand on the Silver Surfer?
I have no real opinion on him, but... Well, good for Steve. He's very enthusiastic, obviously.
He's not been portrayed very well in the movies.
No, he is not.
I cannot speak, you know, to the comic book, but the movies featuring Silver Surfer have sucked.
That is true.
Let's see. 815 area code says, I collect propaganda posters from World War I to the Cold War era. Oh yeah, and I'm 708 area code. I collect naval lint in a mayonnaise jar. Why? Why?
That's amazing.
Sherry says, I used to rent an apartment from a retired dentist. In the basement of the building, he had large jars full of teeth. Was it Kevin Spacey from Seven that you were renting? What? What?
I would never venture down there if I lived there. I hope that's not where the laundry is.
You got to go down there. You got to go past the jars of teeth to do your wash. What the hell is that? Sherry, that's just creepy, man. Do dentists keep the teeth that they pull?
Well, I was trying to think of like an explanation. You know, I know that at a period of time back in the olden days, they would use real teeth for dentures.
Right.
But that was like 400 years ago. And we've made significant strides.
They've got veneers and stuff now. You don't have to.
You don't need to.
I'm picturing, I swear to God, Dan, when I saw jars of teeth, I am picturing Kevin Spacey's apartment.
Right.
I'm seeing the jars of teeth and a bunch of journals right next to it. And then there's a dark room on the other side. I don't even know what to say to that. Sherry, how long did you live in that building? Good Lord. That's just weird, man. All right. All right, more weird collections. The teeth so far, I don't even know what to say. I have no idea what to say. Here, 60-year-old McDonald's owner Mike Fontaine has a mind-blowing collection of over 75,000 pieces of McDonald's memorabilia. The collection occupies over 7,000 square feet of his home in Pennsylvania. My guess? He's single. That would be my guess. And I don't know if I'm venturing out on a tightrope on that one or not, but I'm guessing that Mike is single. It includes 1,000 McDonald's cups, uniforms, 11,700 lapel pins, old displays, and nearly every Happy Meal toy the chain has ever produced. There's also the famous Ronald McDonald mascot. Okay, that's almost as creepy as the teeth.
But not quite.
Not quite.
Close.
Mm.
This just in from Sherry. Yes, laundry and storage area were in the basement.
No!
Oh, man, there it is.
No!
Weekly trips down there.
Oh, my God.
God.
Oh, I thought my laundry room was creepy.
That's amazing.
Oh, man.
I mean, what else is down there? Now I'm curious.
Were there journals? I don't under. Oh, man.
Now, 219 contends first-year dental students need jar of teeth to practice on. But
Wait. How do you practice on? What do you do?
Well, you can fill a cavity on a tooth that I would assume.
I get, but what but do you?
Where do you
put
get
it,
these?
Put it in a vise, and then
apparently Sherry's landlord. You just go over to Sherry's landlord.
There's a market for this. I had no idea.
It's like the insert inside all of the welcome to dental school. Need teeth to practice on? Question mark.
I love that this has become a teachable moment for us.
It's so weird. Why is this when people, oh, yeah, like it was like the texter, like, oh, yeah, sure. First year dental students need teeth to practice on. What? What?
Maybe it's Sherry's landlord trying to cover himself.
Oh, yeah, that's who it is. My secret's out. I got to come up with an excuse to why next to the laundry room I make my tenants walk past jars of teeth. All right. Here's a guy in Germany that has 1,563 different cell phones. Carsten Tews is his name. All right.
I still have all my phones back to my old Nokia brick phone, so he's welcome to those.
Yeah, you want to send them to him?
He can email me.
Yeah.
Take those off my hands.
He can email you from many different devices. All right. It's funny because I have all of my phones, too. All three of them, including my latest. I've only had three cell phones, ever.
It took me a while to get a smartphone, I will say that.
I didn't get a smartphone until last year.
I think I was 3 years ago.
When did that? No, it's over a year. It was.
I know I'm only on my second contract, I can tell you
September
that.
September 2015. That's when I got my first cell phone.
Are you hooked now?
My first smartphone, I mean. I put it off for a really long time.
Right, me too.
And then when I got it, I was like, oh, man, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I had a flip phone for a long time, and then, like, you know, I had two flip phones. And then I remember the first phone I ever got was in 2007. I never had a cell phone before 2007. And the only reason I got it was because I moved in with my girlfriend at the time, who would eventually become my wife and ex-wife. Moved in with her because she didn't have a landline. So that's why I got a cell phone. It was early 2007.
My first one actually had the small antenna that you would have to pull up. I don't know that it accomplished
anything. Just had the little flippy thing. And then, like, she got me a phone in 2009. I didn't want one. Then she upgraded my phone in 2009, and I had that phone until 2015. So I had that until I got the phone that I have now. And I got the Samsung Galaxy 6.
That's not the one that blows up?
No.
I take it?
It's okay. The Galaxy 6. 6S? That's right. Is that what it is?
What are you asking me?
I don't know. I'm looking at it. It's supposed to say. Doesn't it say what kind of phone it is?
Usually on the back.
It's covered. I have a little cover on there because I like the movie High Tension. And so I have the girl with the buzzsaw that she just killed a bunch of people with on the back of my... Got this at Flashback Convention, Dan. You shocked?
Shocking, yes.
Shocking. Well, I'm not going to take it off. It's a Galaxy... It's a 6. A Galaxy... Samsung Galaxy S6 or 6S or whatever. It's a great phone.
We believe you.
No, it is. It's a good phone. I mean, because I went in... When I went in, I brought the phone in at Verizon. I brought the phone in, and I thought they were just going to laugh at me, you know, when I brought to replace the phone. But they didn't. The girl was very. I'm like, you're going to laugh at me, but I'm turning this one in. She's like, yeah, you like to hang on phones for a long time. I'm like, yeah. And I had I bought a Galaxy tablet, so I had a tablet at home. And so I was familiar with the tablet, and I told her that I had that, and she said, you should get this phone because it's like exactly like your tablet at home. It's a little bit better, but it's exactly like your tablet, and since you know how to use that and, like, I had the thing figured out. You know, it takes a long time sometimes to figure out your new phone, especially if you're not tech-savvy like I am. Like, I am not, I should say. But it didn't take me long at all because I had the experience with the tablet, the Galaxy Samsung tablet. So... Did I just do like a 5-minute commercial for Samsung? Is that what just happened? And I also recommend mason jars for your teeth. That's the best way to collect your teeth is in a mason jar. So, by Samsung. All right. You know, there's an app for teeth jars on this Samsung. Jars of teeth where you can find them. All right. Well, we got a break here for weather and traffic and more weird collections and maybe more texts coming in justifying why there are jars of teeth in the basement of apartment buildings. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're talking about weird collections and what you collect that's weird. Let's see. Lisa Courtney from the UK owns 16,000 Pokemon items. Boy, I bet she was having fun last year. Remember when for about 20 minutes that game was popular?
Oh, yeah. Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go.
Right.
Still one of our favorite dummies from dummy stories from last year was the guy who was playing Pokemon Go and crashed into a police car. And then when the cops came to see if he was okay, he was like, yeah. And then he said the quote was, that's what I get for playing this dumbass game. Karen Ferrier is obsessed with Dalmatians, owning a collection of 3,500 spotty items. It would be funny if her last name wasn't Ferrier, but Terrier. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
All right.
This is top comedy. I don't even play around, man. Phil Miller collects sugar packets and sugar cube wrappers. He's been collecting since 1978 and started with the President of the United States sugar packets. Oh, yeah. You remember those? No, of course you don't.
What?
There used to be sugar packets, like in restaurants you would go to, and there were sugar packets and a different president on each packet. Like there'd be a portrait of the president on the packet. On the back is like a little bio. These were collectible sugar packets with all the presidents.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool, but I don't think I want a collection of anything that could attract, you know,
like ants and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. 815 area code says, my wife and I collect little golden books. Gotta remember those.
Yeah, I do too.
Over 350 and counting, mostly the older ones. 630 area code says, don't forget about the gold and the silver in those teeth. So that's why he was collecting it, because of the gold and the silver?
Take it to one of those cash for gold places.
Exactly. Here's a jar of teeth. How much can I get for this? I'd love to see that on Pawn Stars. Somebody brings in a jar of teeth. I want $5,000 for this jar of teeth. Susan says, I collect transistor radios. That's cool. Man, I remember when I was a kid, I had a transistor radio and you little thing in your ear. I used to listen to Eddie Schwartz when I was younger with the transistor radio. Steve and Johnny, too.
Wow.
815 area code says, I still have hundreds of those comics from Bazooka Bubblegum.
Oh, okay.
I collected them in the 60s and 70s. I could use some new teeth.
Do they still do that with the comics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Who was the dude who had the sweater up to his face in Bazooka Joe?
Mushmouth? No.
No, Mushmouth was Fat Albert. No, he had like the key. Remember, you know what I'm talking about? He had like a turtleneck sweater up over his face. What was his name?
I can't think of it.
All right. We'll find out.
Yeah. And I'm going to be mad.
630 Mort. Area code.
Mort.
What?
Mort. Mort. It was Mort.
Yeah, Mort. He used to have the sweater, just the turtleneck up over his face.
Yes.
Mort. 630 area code says, I used to collect everything Arnold Schwarzenegger. I have everything from all his VHS movies way up to True Lies. I started collecting the DVDs. I even have a first edition of his workout encyclopedia that you can't get anymore, plus all of his action figures. Wow. I assume this person is watching Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah. It's good to have a hobby.
Yeah.
I love that it's a first edition.
That's the key.
You can have all your third and fourth reprintings.
Right.
This is a first edition of Arnold Schwarzenegger's workout encyclopedia. You put that on the shelf next to the jars of teeth. All right. Joker cards. Italian magician Tony DeSantis owns the largest collection of Joker playing cards. He has over 8,520 of them.
So 52 cards to a deck divided by...
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not going to do the math. Yeah. My ex-wife, Heather, collects playing cards that she finds on the street. And she's found a lot of them. She's got like a case, like a small case, where she's collected them. She writes where she found them. Like on what street and stuff.
It's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Some of them are in good condition. A lot of them are beat up and stuff, but she collects those. Let's see. Love dolls. What? Wacky couple Bob and Lizzie Gibbons share their home with their rather unusual collection of 240 love dolls. According to the couple, They like dressing the dolls up, and they take them on shopping trips. Are we talking about blow-up dolls? Blow-up, like, based, sex dolls?
Based upon the picture, they're like the ones from Lars and the Real Girl, like that type, where it's plastic. And
that's still creepy, man.
Take them out in public? Yeah.
Listen, I was at a diner one time. I have to tell you this story. One night I was at a diner. It was the two-way diner. It's called something else now, but it's right by my apartment where I live.
Okay.
And we were there one night after a night of a few cocktails, and we went in, and it was like we walked into Twin Peaks. Like, it was just the weirdest collection of people ever. And sitting at the end of the counter, it was only that diner only has counters. There are no tables, no booths. So it has counter space.
Okay.
And at that time, they had the cherry machines in the back that they would pay out.
Okay.
So there was like a room where people would smoke. All these weird, bleary-eyed people at 4 o'clock in the morning back there trying to win $20 on a cherry machine. That's going on. And then we walk down to take a seat. And at the end of the counter, and I'm not making this up, there was a dude at the end of the counter with a blow-up sex doll next to him, on the stool next to him, and a full breakfast in front of it. Like, he was feeding his little blow-up sex doll.
Oh, my God.
And then this maniac came in with this woman. He was in a full fur coat. He comes in, starts screaming, "Yeah, that's the kind of night it is!" And he starts screaming at the guy, "Grill man! Hey, grill man!" And he's screaming at the guy. The grill guy is just this old dude, you know, hates his life.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
He's got grease all over him, and he's, you know, and the waitress is like 70, and it, you know, and saying, "Grill man! Come here, grill man! Grill man, come here! Come here!" And
he begrudgingly.
Yeah, and he walks over to him where the break in the counter is, okay. You know, with the door that you lift up and everything. He comes over to him and he goes, "Hey, grill man, look at this." He pulls out a wad of money. And he's like, "That's $500. Grill man, this is $500, grill man. Here's what I want you to do. Put it on the grill." The grill man's standing there like, "What?" Meanwhile, there's a guy at the other end of the
right, with the
counter with the blow-up doll. And we're sitting here. My friends and I are sitting here like, "We're not leaving."
And you're not saying anything.
No, we're just sitting here. Right. And so put it on the grill. And he kept screaming at the guy, "Grill man! Grill man! Put it on the grill!" And he gave him the $500. And the grill man walked over. He put it on the grill. And the guy goes, "All right, that's enough. Give it back." That was at the two-way grill at Elston and Pulaski.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. I think it's called the North Center Grill now or something like that. So.
To think people say nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
That's the best, man. That was just ridiculous. Grill man! Woo! Grill man! Put it on the grill! Okay. That's a true story. All right. We got a break here. So we'll see you tomorrow, Jim.
Yes.
When you're going to be MC Rye.
I'm looking forward to
that. For Fly Jams Friday. All right, we got a break here. The news is coming up next.